Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's Bible study night. And of course, before we have that Bible study, we're going to sing. But before we do that, we're going to pray because we need the Lord's help. We always need His help. No matter what we're doing, we can't do anything without Him. So we're going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this opportunity to gather in Thy name. We thank Thee that Thou hast brought us here together to study Thy word, to sing Thy praises, to worship Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou hast abide over this entire service. We ask, O God, that Thou hast inspire us as we worship Thee, to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to start with number 143 in the chorus book, We Have Come Into This House. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. Righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We're going to sing number 26, In His Presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His and He is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His and He is mine. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship! Of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's sing number 64, Bless the Lord. bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For He has done great things, He has done great things, He has done great things, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Within me, bless His holy name. For He has done great things, He has done great things, He has done great things, bless His praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Glory
to God.
Praise the Lord.
Let's sing number 5, Something Beautiful. All I had to offer. Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Why don't we sing number 98, Because He Lives?
Because
He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But why don't we sing number 91 without Him? Because we truly would be hopeless and helpless without Him. Glory to God.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord.
God. Well, I think I'll take up the collection now, and we'll sing one more song after that, and then we'll let Shirley get started. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We know, O God, that these funds belong to thee for thy purpose, for thy glory. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used to glorify thy name. We ask, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I looked across the page at number 89, and I just thought that would be a good song to sing, so I think we'll sing that one. God can do anything, because He truly can. Praise the Lord. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God.
do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm so glad we serve a God that's never stuck. He always knows exactly what to do. Praise the Lord. Well, we will let Shirley come up here and give her Bible study. Praise the Lord. Where is he? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. God knows how to do it. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, where is Matthew? So they're both, is he near his dad? Okay. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Well, praise God. We've got some prayer requests tonight, and I know Sister Vicki was just telling me that Matthew Piotrowski, I know some of you know him, but anyway, his dad is dying, and his dad doesn't know the Lord. They're taking him off the ventilator, and he's not going to be able to eat or anything. He doesn't know God. He's got a Catholic background, and oh my, We just prayed for Diane and Barb's dad. I know last week he died too. And I know we were just praying that God would speak to him. I mean, sometimes that's all you can do is give it to the Lord and ask God to do a work. So we're going to bring these requests to the Lord. And I don't know. I figure there might be even more. But we'll pray for Doug and however God leads here. I know Diane isn't feeling real well yet either. So let's just begin here tonight. I'm just glad for everybody that's here and that wonderful singing that we did. The praise to the Lord. It sure does change us when we give it to the Lord, when we let the Lord work in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again, O Lord, for such an opportunity, Lord. Another night, O God, another occasion that you've given us, Lord, to draw nigh to you, Lord, to get into that place, that position that you want us to be as your children, Lord. And Oh God, you know all things. You know the cries in our hearts. Oh God, you know the longings. You know the desires. God, you know the burdens. God, you know everything. Oh God, of all of us here present and those of us online. And God, oh Lord, those that will hear this message, God, I'm just praying, Lord, oh God, that you would touch, that you would talk to souls. Oh God, that you would minister to us, Lord. Oh God, we're poor and needy, God. We could do nothing without you, God. Oh God, we're but dust of the earth, Lord. And who have we on earth besides thee, Lord? Or else who in heaven, Lord? Even, oh Lord Jesus, we know that thou art our strength. Oh Lord, you are our song. Oh God. Oh God, you give us something to live for, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you be here tonight, Lord, that you talk to our souls. Oh God, that you give us, oh Lord, ears to hear, Lord. Oh God, that you minister to us, Lord, for we're here, oh God, just, oh Lord, to get close to thee, Lord, to worship you, Lord. Oh God, to gain the advantages that we need, oh Lord, to enter into thy kingdom, Lord, to seek you first, oh Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, to lay hold on eternal life. I pray, oh God, that you talk to us, Lord, that you bind every unclean spirit, everything that would, oh God, try to irritate us or harm us or destroy us. Oh God, you know all things, God. And, oh Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh God, you'd be with that man, Lord. We'd be with Matthew, Lord. Talk to him too, Lord. Pray that Matthew Piotrowski would also get in that place that you want him to be, Lord. Oh God, that you'd talk to his heart. And, oh God, bind everything, oh Lord, that would interfere, Lord. I pray for his dad, Lord. I pray for his dad who doesn't know you as far as we know, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that there would be ministering angels. Maybe somebody there too that would talk to him. Oh Lord, they would speak words of life to him. Oh God, oh Lord, I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that you'd show mercy to him, that you'd help him, Lord, oh God, with what he's going through. Oh God, in your precious name, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help this man, Lord, oh God, that you would be there, oh God, to do a work, Lord. We're asking you in Jesus' name, oh Lord, to intervene, Lord, to set him free, Lord God, to set him free of eternal damnation, Lord. Oh God, that you talk to his heart, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, for you know, oh Lord, how to do it, Lord. And, oh God, we ask, oh Lord, that you'd help Diane and Barb, Lord. And oh God, with the passing of their dad. And oh Lord, that you'd help Diane's body to heal, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, and that you comfort them and talk to them, Jesus. Oh God, did you help John tonight, Lord? Oh God, that he'd be strengthened. And oh Lord, that he would, oh God, respond to thee, oh Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that you move, Lord. You know our needs, oh, as individuals, God. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, oh God, oh Lord, that you talk to us. Oh God, oh Lord, that you would intervene in our lives. And, oh God, help us to know thy hand, thy voice. Oh God, thy mercy. Oh God, thy goodness. Oh Lord. And, oh God, help us tonight as we go into thy word, Lord. Oh God, give me words to speak, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, be here to minister to us, Lord. Oh God, that we might grow in thee, Lord, and know thee, Lord. Get ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh Lord, for it's upon all of us, Lord. And, oh God, we've got work to do, Lord. We need to be strengthened with that might from above, oh Lord. And the inner man that you talk to us, Lord. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name I ask. I praise you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you,
Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm so thankful that we can cry out to God. I'm so thankful that we know that he's a very present help in the time of need. You know, I mean, wow, when you get down to death's door, to whom else are you going to turn, you know? When there's no hope, there's, you know, no other way, you know, the medical people say it's over, you know, they have no other, you know, potential remedies to offer. And then, wow, it's you in the hands of Almighty God. And wow, we have to seek the Lord while we have that opportunity, don't we? We have to come to him while he is near. Oh my, while it is yet day in our lifetime, but you know, oh, wow, before that night is coming when it is impossible to work and do the will of God at that point. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. are going to just go to various places, I think, here tonight. And we're going to be talking about seeking the Lord with our whole heart. Seeking the Lord with our whole heart, our whole being, our whole mind, all our strength, coming to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We still have opportunity. It's still an open door. We know who opens the door and who closes it. And right now, that door is still open. That door that allows us to come to the living waters. That door that allows us to be saved. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's start out in Jeremiah 29. We've been here before, but I've just came to love this portion of scripture, and let's go there. We're going to look at verse 10 here. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Oh, praise the Lord. There's the promises of the Lord. You know, though he had to get after his own children, so to speak, the children of Israel, yet there were promises that were given them. Promises that after 70 years they would return. There would be a remnant. They would return. The Lord would visit them. And that good word that he had spoken toward them would be performed. And here it was in the midst of a great distress, a time of great trouble, a time, oh wow, that looked hopeless to so many of them. Yet the Lord was looking out for them. He had them in mind all along, and he had plans for them all along, and he was going to make a way for them. And, you know, he didn't have evil in his heart toward his children. He had to chasten them because of their disobedience and their lack of respect toward him and their following after Baal and Moloch and all those other gods, Moloch and all those other gods and the other things that were in their hearts. That separated them between God and his power and ability and his righteousness. But yet he was thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil, and there was an end that he was going to bring out, a beautiful end, and he talks about how it was going to come to pass that they were going to go and pray unto him. And at that time, he was going to hearken unto them. It was going to be done in such a way that they would know that he was with them. And it would be at such a time when suddenly it would come to them to seek the Lord with all their heart. And he promised if they would seek him, that they would find him when they searched for him with all their heart. With all their heart. And you know, that's how we are to love our Lord. It's not with just a little bit of us. He wants to give him our all. You know, to cry out with all our being, not just, you know, half-heartedly, you know, just kind of, sort of, you know, just thinking that he's a possible remedy, a possible solution. But he wants us to cry with a whole heart. And he also wants us to serve him with a whole heart. You know, just not a fraction of us. And so often that's what happens. People want the best of both worlds, and so at least somewhat, that's what they think. But you know what? That's not going to work. Because you can't serve two masters. You know, you're going to hate one and love the other, hold to one and cling to the other, or despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. That's the way it is. And so it is, you know, we have to give the Lord our all. There's a surrender that's needed when we come to the Lord Jesus. And it's looking for Him to take over in our life, to redirect our lives, to change us, to make us new. And it's not clinging to the old and into the past, but it's giving it to the Lord and letting Him take control. You know, so many people don't want to let go. They cling on to this or to that, or, you know, some little thought or some little memory or some little stronghold that entices them, something that they think they want and you know, desire. But that's not the way we are to seek after God. We are to do it with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, you know, with our whole person. It's a cry that comes from deep within. But praise the Lord, there's a promise that if we do that, He will be found of us. He will be found of us if we could just seek Him and search for Him with all our heart. Of course, there's a forsaking with that. And I'm thinking of Isaiah 55, where it says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." And then it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And I love that, abundantly pardon. It's not, God's part is not partial either. He just takes care of it all, you know? Our sins are buried in that sea of forgetfulness. They're taken away in those waters of baptism when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He abundantly pardons. It's wholeheartedly. It takes care of all the past. Not just a little portion. Not, you know, this isn't that. And the easy things. Oh, God does it all the way. But there's expectations that He has of us too. We are to seek Him while He may be found, because there will be a time when it's going to be too late to seek the Lord. We've got to call upon Him while He's near, because yes, there may be a day when we can't call upon Him. It will be too late. And then there's our forsaking with that. A forsaking, a turning away from sin. Forsaking that old way. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, those unrighteous thoughts that were deep inside that unsaved individual. And then there's a return that must be done, a return unto the Lord, knowing that He will have mercy upon that individual that will come to Him in full and complete repentance, forsaking his way, his thoughts, his old life, and returning to a God. And then that God, that wonderful God, that Savior, shows His goodness, that wonderful goodness of the Lord that brings us to repentance, even to that understanding that we need to cry out, because some people don't have that understanding. They don't seem to even know what they are to do, and they don't acknowledge God. But praise the Lord, if He's called us and put that within us so that we can cry out and repent and turn to Him and to seek Him, He will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Oh, that is so beautiful. You know, it is such a privilege. You know, I Job cried out there in great longing and his great distress there, covered from head to foot with boils. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. You know, that longing of the soul. You know, there's something deep inside. God puts something within us that calls out for the living God. There's something within us, you know, and people seek it in all different ways. Maybe they try to fill that vacuum with riches, with wealth, with power, with prestige. You know, maybe they go to some false god and seek that God and, you know, try to fill that vacuum with that kind of worship. But praise the Lord, there is a living God. He is the Creator. He's the one that made us. He's the one that saved us. And praise the Lord, yes, praise the Lord, we can cry out to Him and know that He will have mercy on us. He will save. He will restore. He will deliver. He will redeem. He knows how to bring us back. He knows how to heal our bodies and how to set us free. Oh, how to bring us out of the pits of sin. Set us on the rock, Christ Jesus, and establish our thoughts and our goings. Oh, yes, and we sang that song, Something Beautiful. You know, and that's what God takes. He takes our lives, as disgusting as sin is and all the havoc and wreckage it makes of our lives. God can take that life, oh wow, and take that sin, oh, and let it go, you know, to change us, to establish us, to make us new creatures, to make something worthwhile of our lives, to make something beautiful so that we have something to praise Him for. Oh my, something oh to work for, something to live for, something to breathe for, yes, and even something to die for. Oh, praise the Lord for what He does and what He is doing in our lives. Praise the Lord, praise God. You know, Jesus came on the scene. He came to seek and to save those which were lost. The people, though, the Jewish people, were mostly looking for somebody who would just save them from Roman bondage. And they didn't understand it, as it we've mentioned so many times. They were looking for a deliverer, and we see that so clearly in the 6th chapter of John. It's quite an interesting chapter because there it was. Jesus initially fed the 5,000, and what a wonderful miracle that was. And the people saw it as something, you know, beyond the normal, that's for sure. And they begin to realize that Jesus was more than just an ordinary man. They begin to realize that He was that prophet that should come into the world. They begin to have that understanding there. It tells us there in the 14th verse of John 6. And then all at once, He comes to them. They want to make Him a king. They want to come and take Him by force, it tells us in verse 15. They want to make Him a king. And that's not the will of God. That's not the plan of God. That's not going to work in this case at all. You know, He didn't come to set them free from Roman bondage, to be an earthly king by any means. His kingdom was not of this world. Otherwise, His men would have fought when He was there in Pilate's judgment hall. But He came to set us free from sin, to redeem us, to give us hope beyond this world. Oh, it's something that goes beyond this world, eternal life. And that's why He came. So, wow, He came to set them free, and they didn't get it. They came to take Him by force. And then Jesus began to expound to them in that 6th chapter of John and tell them that He was the bread of life. And that, oh wow, that they were going to have to partake of that bread of life in order to have everlasting life. Of course, they didn't get it, you know. They knew that their fathers had eaten manna in the wilderness and they were dead. But Jesus was going beyond that, wasn't He? He was going beyond that. He was offering them something beyond this earthly life. He was offering them salvation, which is so beautiful. And He told them that the words that He spoke unto them, that those words were spirit and they were life. He, you know, it wasn't just little things that He was saying that, you know, were inspiring or, you know, maybe a nice speech or, you know, profitable in some way. It went way beyond that. His words that He spoke unto them would bring up those wells of living water if they could only believe, if they could only turn from their evil ways and give their lives to the Lord. That's what He was talking about. But, you know, they didn't get it, did they? And in verse 64, it tells us that many of them that supposedly believed initially after He did the feeding of the 5,000, all at once, they left Him. They left Him. He knew that there were many that didn't believe. And He even knew who was going to betray Him. It tells us, verse 66, actually, that from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. But Jesus turned to the 12 and he said to them, he asked them, he said, will you go away also? And I love how Simon Peter answered. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no other. There is no other Savior. You know, there's no other empty tomb. You know, there's no other one who came into this world to redeem us from our sins. There's no other to go to. And Peter knew it, didn't he? He knew it. He said, oh, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a revelation. Only Jesus Christ can give that revelation. It doesn't come by our earthly intellect at all. It doesn't come by reading books. It doesn't come by philosophy or any of that. It comes by revelation from the Lord God Almighty. Oh, that he would reveal himself to us, that we would know of a truth that he is the Christ, that Christ that should come into the world, that Messiah. Oh, praise the what? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He was that Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. And they knew this. It came to them. It came to them what they needed to do. But the Lord had come to seek and to save those which were lost. So many of them couldn't recognize that they were sinners. And of course, we know that there was outrage when the publicans and sinners came to him. Jesus called Matthew, also called Levi, who was a publican. God called him. And then, you know, lo and behold, after that, because this Matthew just got up and left his seat of customs there and followed Jesus. We covered that, I believe, last week. But here it is. You know, after that, there were publicans and sinners that came to Jesus Christ. And others didn't like that. They were murmuring about such a thing. Here he is. He's sitting, he's eating with these publicans and sinners. How dare he? You know, doesn't he know better? Doesn't he know who they are? You know, these despicable people who take all our taxes from us and overcharge us. And, you know, they're just sinners, you know. What's he doing with them? But praise the Lord. God can see in the heart. Oh, praise the Lord. He could see so often that those people that were religious that should have known didn't recognize him. Didn't want to turn from their sin, didn't want to acknowledge that they had sin. And Jesus said unto them, said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, as it tells us in Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 12 and 13. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why the Lord Jesus came. He came to set us free from sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, praise the Lord. But he came knowing that there were a people that needed to be delivered, that needed to be set free, and there would be a people that would embrace his full and wonderful salvation. Let's go to Luke, the 15th chapter. This chapter is quite interesting in so many ways. The Lord Jesus told three parables in this chapter, and it's all about conditions, people that needed to be saved, and how they're found, how the Lord finds them. The first example there, he tells about a man who had 100 sheep. And he just said, if he would lose one of them, there in verse 4, chapter 15 of Luke, doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And that's what our Lord does, you know, that poor lost sheep that was out there, you know, so helpless, not knowing how to help itself at all, maybe injured, who knows, maybe lost, maybe caught in a thicket, but not knowing how to be found, not knowing how to get back to the fold. And Jesus told how the shepherd goes out to find that lost sheep. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing, carrying it back on his shoulder. Oh, that sheep that was lost, that sheep that was lost, and tells us how, and when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Oh my, it might have been a long time. It might have been several days. Perhaps it was overnight, and perhaps it was cold, and the worry was there, and you know, all the wonderment if he'd ever find that sheep. But praise the Lord, that good shepherd went out. He was searching, looking every place he could possibly imagine. And praise the Lord, he found that lost sheep. He found it. Oh, so happy to find that sheep that was lost, carrying it back on his shoulder. Oh, my sheep that was lost. And that's what he's done for us, you know. So many of us were in a place where we had no knowledge. Or perhaps even if we did, we didn't know how we could pick ourselves up and find hope. You know, we were down there, maybe in a spiritual dungeon, so to speak, in great despair, you know, maybe wrecked with alcoholism or drugs or the havoc of sin, you know, maybe living in just in great debauchery and you know, seeking pleasures that were of no spiritual help at all. And not knowing how to find help. But praise the Lord knows how to reach down, how to search, how to seek, how to find. And that's what God does, even though it might be a helpless condition, a hopeless condition. The Lord knows how to do it. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Great joy in heaven over that lost sheep that was found. Oh, praise the Lord, that helpless one who was in such despair and trouble. And then Jesus went on to tell the story of a woman who had 10 pieces of silver, and she would lose one piece in his story. And what would she do? She would light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligently. Oh, I like that word, diligently. It means with all the heart, with all the effort. It's not just, you know, just picking up a few little things and kind of looking under it and dusting a couple little places. It means looking, searching every crook and cranny, every possible place to see if I can find it. You know, oh my, I got to get rid of this. I got to look at this. And it might take a long time. But there was determination here. I'm going to find that coin. It's of value to me. It's precious to me. I've got to find it. I've got to find it. The coin didn't know it was lost. The coin didn't know it was in trouble. But that woman is looking for it. And likewise, she finds it. She finds that coin. And she calls her friends, her neighbors together, saying, oh, rejoice with me. I found that piece that I had lost. Oh, I found it. It was so precious to me and valuable to me. And it was, you know, something that I treasured. And now I found it. Come rejoice with me. And again, likewise, Jesus said, there is great joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. And that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes that sinner doesn't realize that need for salvation, doesn't even have a clue. But the Lord knows how to seek, how to search, how to find, how to restore, how to bring that one to him. Oh, how very, very precious. Very precious that is. And then Jesus continued in this 15th chapter of Luke, and he tells about the man who had two sons, and the younger son decided that it was time for him to go, leave home, do what he wanted to do. And he asked his father to give him the portion of goods that falleth to me, is his portion of the inheritance. And so the father did this. He divided unto him his living, what was appropriate for him. And this young son says, after not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. and there wasted his substance with riotous living, having a fling, doing whatever he wanted to do, and just wasting the money, not knowing the value of it, not really honoring his father with it either. It just doing whatever came to mind. And it tells us, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. That's pigs. That's pretty desperate. But here it is. It's a famine. There's not much to do. And these are hard times now. And here I am. I've spent all my money. I don't have any more to spend. And what am I going to do? And it says in verse 16 here, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Oh, no one was offering him food at all. And here he is. He's hungry. And here he is with the pigs. And he's ready to eat their food, the husks that are given to the pigs. But all at once, in this great need, this despair, in this forsaken condition that's been caused by his sin, by his rebellion, it came to him. It came to him. Suddenly, he knew. He had had a good father in the past who taught him right. But yet he had left that. And he'd been doing what his own selfish will wanted to do. But all at once there, in great need, in great despair, in a hopeless condition, he remembered. He remembered what it was like back home. He remembered the good things that his father had for him. And, it just came to him. And all at once, what am I doing here? Here were the pigs. What am I doing here in this muck and mire with not even food to eat? My clothes are all ragged. I have no money. I have no friends. They've all forsaken me. And here I am. And I have a father back home. I have a father back home. And, so it came to him. He had certain knowledge because he had been taught right back in the day. But then he said, what am I going to do? He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Even my father's servants have plenty of food. They have provisions. So it came to him. He said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to arise. I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned. He's going to acknowledge his guilt. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And, the way of the transgressor is hard. The scripture tells us that. There's people out there today, doing whatever comes to them to do. Seeking pleasure. Seeking fame. Seeking monetary wealth. Who knows what else. But it's going to bring them nothing in the end. It's going to bring them no final satisfaction. It's going to bring them damnation. It's going to bring them hell. Unless there's an acknowledgement, unless they come to themselves, unless there's a realization deep inside, I've sinned. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. And my filthiness is as, unbearable. It's something I can't stand anymore. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God, and even against those teachings that I had in my childhood. So he was going to go to his father and say, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He didn't think he could ask any more of that than that, just to be a servant. But that would be way better than living in the pigsty, along with the pigs and having nothing to eat. So he came to himself. But you see, the wonderful love of that father, it tells us, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, it was a time of rejoicing, wasn't it? It was a time of rejoicing because that son was restored to his father. There was now hope. Oh, wow. He found out that those pleasures of sin are just but for a moment. They don't lead to lasting happiness. You know, they're just a lingering, short-lived thing, you know, that, kind of satisfies for but moments, just a temporary thing. He found out that there's something deeper that's to be reached for, something deeper that needs to be desired in one's life. And praise the Lord, he came to himself. But that's our Lord, that Father, which represents our Heavenly Father, was watching for him, wasn't he? He was waiting for him. He knew that one day his son was going to return. Oh, praise the Lord. And he was out there waiting and watching for him. It says when he was yet a long ways off, that father saw him coming. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. That father saw him a long way off and had compassion. And, you know, not only that, he ran toward him. Yeah. He ran toward him. You know, if we will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. There's something about it. But God is waiting for us to take steps. He's waiting for a people that will seek him with the whole heart. It can't be a half-hearted thing. You know, the son, if he would have just went halfway home, it wouldn't have been sufficient, would it? Oh my, it wouldn't have done the job that was necessary here. It wouldn't have been the return that was necessary. It wouldn't have been the repentance that was required. But he made it. He made it back home, which was such a blessing. And praise the Lord, he was restored. He is restored. So praise the Lord, there is a good shepherd out there who seeks those that are lost, who loves his sheep. And he's not satisfied until they're all there. It's complete, 100%. That's our Heavenly Father. He has long patience. He's waiting for the precious fruit of this earth until he hath received both the early and the latter rain. And he's not going to be satisfied until that last one is in. That last one has been restored and found. And praise the Lord. That's why, you know, we can't say our Lord delayeth his coming, because he is still searching. He is still seeking. You know, he's still looking. And praise the Lord, there's still time. There's still time. So it is, there's, you know, the helpless sheep that couldn't help himself. But yet the Lord had mercy and went out to seek and to find him, to bring him back. Oh yes, there was a coin that was lost. The coin didn't know it. But yet God had mercy. Oh, that coin was going to be found. You know, even though, you know, that person, if we're speaking of making this an individual, didn't realize his spiritual condition, yet the Lord in his goodness makes it known and reaches out to call and to save, oh my, to make a difference in that life. And I praise the Lord, even the prodigal son who really knew what, you know, he had grown up with, what was, you know, back there, the good things in his father's household, good teachings that he'd been taught, and, you know, the things that really mattered. Yet there was a time when even though he had strayed far, far away, and, you know, he'd devoured his father's living, that good inheritance, with, you know, with nasty living, with harlots, it tells us here. Yet there was mercy. Yet there was mercy, because He came to himself. And the Lord reached out to restore such a one. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful God we have. You know, there in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, we have Paul in Mars Hill. And there it is, you know. He came to that place where there was an altar with an inscription to the unknown God there in Acts 17. And these people, they didn't seem to know who the living God was. You know, they just in case there's an altar to the unknown God. But here came Paul on the scene. Oh, to tell them about the Lord Jesus, to give them hope. They would only listen. And there it was. He was on Mars Hill, and he began to speak to those men of Athens and telling them that he perceived that they were altogether too superstitious. But he passed by, and I beheld your devotions. Oh, there were all these altars all along Mars Hill, altars to this God and to that God, all in a line. And all at once, this altar to the unknown God, and oh, the one that they ignorantly worshipped. That was the one that mattered. That was the one that counted. That was the God that made the world and all things therein. And Paul explains, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, in verse 24, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. Oh, that possibility that they would seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. There he is, God, who made the heavens and the earth, who habits all eternity, who is in every crook and cranny, oh, in every space. There he is. People will only cry out to him. They'll only draw nigh to God. They'll only seek after the Lord. He may be found. Oh, what a wonderful event that is. Perhaps they would seek after the Lord. Then they might feel after him and find him. Though he's right here. He's right here. He's right here in our presence. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, there he is in the midst of us. Praise the Lord in the midst of his people. And there he is. And there he was on Mars Hill. You know, if they would just draw nigh to him. Oh, happily, perhaps they would find the living God. Oh, such a wonderful opportunity if they would only find the Lord. If they would only seek after him. Oh, if they would only draw nigh to God, knowing that he would draw nigh to them. Oh, what a precious opportunity they had to come to the Lord. And there were a few. There are a few. Doesn't seem like just too many did turn away from their superstitions and turn to the living God. But there it was, an opportunity, a golden opportunity that was given to them to make their amends with a God who would ultimately judge them, because they were going to stand before that God and give an account of him. Yes, but there was an opportunity. And I believe God makes himself known. There's various ways that he calls to people to draw them out of their own little realm, their own little world, to make provisions. You know, like, you know, the man we prayed for tonight. I don't know what God will do, but God has a way. I know I've prayed with people on their deathbed, and, you know, and I've seen God turn lives around, you know. I know there's great hope in God. There's nothing too hard for him. All things are possible if we'll only believe. Oh, praise the Lord. So thankful for the wonderful provisions that the Lord gives us. But there is great hope if we can only seek him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jacob is such a typical example of a person who had such an encounter with the living God. we consider Genesis, the 32nd chapter, we see a great need here. And so often it seems like it takes a desperate need before people will give attention to their spiritual position. It just seems like it often takes that. You need people to get way down there before they realize, hey, there's something I need to do. I'm not right with God. You know, I'm living in sin. I'm living in rebellion. And there's not much hope if I don't make my amends. I think how God called me when I was young, thank God. But, you know, I know I was on that other road. I had rebellious thoughts in my heart, and I wasn't really intending to live in the way that my mom and dad were living. I just had all, you know, these plans that I thought I had made, but, you know, thank God. There was a night that God got a hold of me. Oh, wow, it was a message on hell. And wow, I thank God for that, because it shook me. All at once I realized, wow, I better get right. And it was such a merciful thing that God would call me, that He'd help me to see my need. For all at once, I forgot, you know, I can't pray in front of my mom and dad. I can't go up there and, you know, make myself known. I can't do that. But God dealt with my heart, and all at once, all I knew is, I've got to do that. I don't care what anybody thinks, you know? It doesn't matter anymore. I've just got to get right with God. And praise the Lord, He met me there that night. Oh, praise the Lord, He met me there that night. I could hardly wait to get up to that altar and pray and seek the Lord. Could hardly wait, but He met me there that night. And praise the Lord, He filled me with the Holy Ghost too. Amen. I thank the Lord, because what a difference. What a difference it has made in my life. But here's Jacob in the 32nd chapter of Genesis. And here it is. He's realizing, he'd left home those 20 years before, and a lot have happened in between. And when he left home, his brother Esau was so upset with him that he wanted to kill him. And now he needs to go back. It's time for him to go back. And here he is. He's got his wives and, you know, his servants and his children and all his goods. And, you know, he thinks, oh, wow, you know, what's going to happen? You know, my brother Esau, you know, I'm going to see him. You know, I'm going to have to face him now. And so he sends messengers to Esau, telling Esau, I'm coming. I'm coming back. Esau, your brother. And then he learns that Esau is coming to meet him. And not alone either. He's got 400 men with him. And obviously it seemed to Jacob that it wasn't very peaceful. And it tells us in this 32nd chapter of Genesis in verse 7 that Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, the flocks, the herds, the camels, into two bands. And, you know, and he said, if Esau come to the one company and spite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. You know, that was a hope. He thought he was trapped. He didn't know how he was going to make it. He didn't know what was going to happen. But he prayed. Oh, he prayed. He prayed to God. He said, oh, God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy at the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So he lodged there that same night, and he made presentations to his brother Esau, in hopes that that would calm him down and appease him. You know, it was quite a whole list of things that he gave to his brother. You know, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, you know, milk-giving camels with their colts, and 40 kine or cows, and the bulls, she asses or donkeys, and foals with it. And you know, all of this to appease his brother with great hopes. And I'll tell you what, you know, maybe Jacob didn't feel very close to the Lord at this point. You know, God had met with him earlier, but it'd been a while. He was 20 years there with Laban. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the most spiritual time in his life. I have a feeling it wasn't. But now, it was time to come back. And now he knew he had to make things right. And now he had to get serious. His relationship with God had to be made right. And so it was. He sent all these things on to appease his brother. And he sent his wives and the women servants and his sons over the brook Jabbok and let them go forward that night. And it tells us that Jacob was left alone in verse 24. He was left alone. There was something he had to do. There was a peace he had to make with Almighty God. You know, it wasn't going to be easy. It says, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. But there was some determination in Jacob. He knew that, you know, there had to be an outcome. There was much at stake. He knew God had promised, you know, that he was to return and that, you know, there was precious promises that were given him. But he didn't know how it was going to happen. And he could feel the anger in his brother. He'd left things in a quick, unpeaceful way there, you know. His brother was very angry when he left and upset, and nothing had happened over the years to change him. So here's Jacob, left alone that night before he's going to meet his brother. And he wrestled with a man. And he wrestled until the breaking of the day. Oh, and that man, he saw that he prevailed not. Jacob was not going to let go. He was not going to let anything stop him. And so that man touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. He touched it in such a way that joint was now dysfunctional in a lot of ways. He's going to limp for the rest of his life. But it was going to be a continual reminder of this night, where he met the Almighty God. And there it was, that man said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." But Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." He knew he had to have something from God. Oh, he wasn't going to stop before it was complete. Okay, yes, my thigh's out of joint now, but I'm not going to stop. There's something I've got to have from the Almighty God. And he wasn't going to let go until he was blessed. And praise the Lord. He said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." Verse 28 says, and he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Isn't that a wonderful thing? That we can have power with God, that we can prevail, that we can rise to a position where we've actually triumphed over our problems, over our needs, over our sin, over our past life. Isn't it wonderful that we can get to that place with God? And here it was, his name was no more going to be Jacob, but Israel. "For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. He got the blessing. And then Jacob realized who he was wrestling with. Oh my, this was not an ordinary man. Oh my, no, this was God Almighty who had personified himself as a man so that he could wrestle with Jacob that night. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And so he knew now that all was going to be well. that he'd received the blessing and he could go home now. He didn't know how God was going to do it yet, but it was going to be well. God was going to take care of every detail. He was going to work at Esau's heart. And sure enough, in the next chapter, chapter 33, it's a beautiful thing because just like that father who runs to meet the prodigal son, here's Esau running to meet Jacob. There in verse 4, and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful reconciliation that was. What a beautiful moment. But see, there was something that Jacob had to do. He had to make his peace with God. He had to find that blessing. He had to continue until he knew of a truth, of a certainty, without any doubts, that he had prevailed and that it was going to be okay. That his wives were going to be okay, his women's servants were going to be okay, his children were going to be okay, he was going to go home and it was going to be all right. He was going to have peace. Praise the Lord. Oh, that men would seek the Lord while he may be found. They would call upon him while he is near. Oh my, that they would amend their ways while there is yet still time. Because there is a place that we can find with God. A place of peace, a place of safety, a place of restoration, a place where all is well. When we know God has forgiven us, praise the Lord, that storm in our life has been calmed. And you know, we now can see and understand God's word. Oh, praise the Lord, when people get to that place where they realize, hey, I don't care what anybody thinks. You know, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me. All the reserves go, all the worries about one's image and you know what people might think. Going to make a scene, going to cry out, going to worship the Lord, going to raise your hands, going to praise the Lord. Somehow it doesn't matter anymore. I'm going to get that blessing from the Lord. I'm going to find that place with God. Oh, what a wonderful moment it is when we come to the living God. We find that place of safety in his presence. And oh, that we know all is well. Oh, wow, when we come up to this place or kneel down somewhere or even lie in our bed perhaps and seek the Lord until he may be found, drawing nigh to him. And all at once, oh, wow, something begins to happen in our lives. Something begins to change us. Oh, praise the Lord. I remember some beautiful nights. And oh, not only that night that the Lord saved me, but Vicki, I remember the night, or the day it was, I believe, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. I remember you were crying out to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I remember when Jane and Anna received the Holy Ghost. Yes, it was a Passover service. They were crying out with all their hearts, you know. And there was, you know, no worries about what anybody was going to think, you know. Chris, just almost a few weeks ago, there, crying out to the Lord, you know? Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing it is, you know. Oh, we have that opportunity. And we meet with the living God, and all at once, those living waters, oh, that he has promised to give us. Oh, those living waters, they come directly from him, you know. Oh, wow, he told the woman at the well, you know, that there was a water that she could drink of. That she would drink of it and never thirst again. A living water. It would be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, Jesus told that Samaritan woman about that living water. Oh, praise the Lord. And she believed it too. She believed it and she understood that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. Oh, praise the Lord and praise the Lord. In John 7, Jesus spoke of those living waters. He said, oh, wow, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, verse 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. It couldn't happen until Jesus had ascended into heaven. It couldn't happen until the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Ghost was going to be poured out. Those living waters would flow, those wells of eternal life that would spring up within us. Oh God, thank you, Lord, to restore us, to redeem us, to bring us back to that place with Him. Oh wow, so we could have the Spirit of the living God living in our hearts. Oh, those living waters that flow. Oh, Isaiah had spoken about them. Isaiah 44, it reads, verse 1, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring." Oh, praise the Lord. "And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord has a people, and he's offered his people, his remnant, those living waters of only one will seek and search him with all the heart, with all the soul, the strength, the mind, all of that. You know, my dad used to tell this story about this woman. And it was said that she wanted the Holy Ghost, but she wanted to get it in a dignified manner. You know, she observed other people and, you know, noticed that sometimes, yes, you know, there's a lot of seeking and searching. There's a lot of crying out and, you know, it might not be the prettiest sight in the world. But this woman just, you know, "Yeah, I want the Holy Ghost, but I just want to be dignified, you know. I don't want to, you know, wrinkle my clothes or, you know, mess up my hair or, you know, any of that sort of thing. And, you know, make a big noise and, you know, have everybody looking at me and all this and that." And so anyway, that was her proclamation, you know. But there was a day, or maybe it was a night, I don't know, when she got a little bit more desperate in her heart and a little more determined, and suddenly it must have came to her that she needed the Holy Ghost regardless of anybody else or regardless of any other consequences at all. And praise the Lord, the story was told that all at once there was a sound coming from behind the piano. Oh, there was somebody behind the piano there in that little church, and lo and behold, here it was, the woman who wanted to receive the Holy Ghost but be dignified, and there she was. She'd gotten behind the piano, and oh my, it was a little messy back there. You know, there was a little dust and a little dirt and all that sort of thing, but this woman got to a place where she didn't care anymore. "I want the Holy Ghost. I want those living waters in my heart." And all at once, she didn't care. She was raising her hands and crying out to God and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord, all at once there came that sound from heaven as God came into her life to change her. All at once she was speaking in another language as the Spirit of God gave her utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something about it. She decided she was going to seek the Lord with all her heart. Oh my, as with all her heart, her soul, her strength, her mind, she was going to cry out and find him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord has so much for us. But so often, we have to get desperate, don't we? It can't be just a half wish or, you know, a little desire. It would be nice. I'd like to have that. But it has to be deep within. Listen, no, I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost. You know, if it takes me all night, I'm going to receive it. And I've seen people with that kind of determination. Oh, go forth speaking in other tongues because there was something within them. I'm going to be like Jacob. I'm not going to go until you bless me, Lord. You know, I'm going to stay right here until I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, till you have met my need, until I am changed, till I am restored. oh, wow, so my life is completely different than it once was. Oh, God knows how to do it, doesn't he? He knows how to turn everything around in our life. Oh, it's such a privilege to come before our living God, to be able to seek him. You know, as I said, that door of opportunity is not going to be always opened. But yet here a little while, the Lord is still seeking. He's still looking for that lost sheep that is so helpless and it can't find its way back home. It's stuck, or it's maybe broken its leg for all I know, and whatever else. It doesn't have the ability to get back home, but praise the Lord, there's something within that heart. The Lord, oh wow, it is great mercy. He's seeking and searching and looking and so willing to rescue. Oh, so willing to find even that one that doesn't even realize is lost. But praise the Lord, the Lord knows how to meet our needs. And praise the Lord, even a prodigal that once knew and turned away, God still has great mercy when that one comes to himself or herself and realizes, hey, listen, I'm doing everything wrong. I'm making a mess of my life. I'm done terrible, you know? Oh, my, I've devoured all my father's living with the harlots. And oh, I've been living in a despicable way. Oh, and what, that's the goodness of the Lord that bringeth a person to repentance so that they can see all the need of the hour and that ability to turn to the living God. Oh, what a precious thing it is. Oh, the psalmist talked about that thirsting for the living God, that need for the living waters. Psalms 42, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, there's a seeking. There's a searching of the heart. There's a crying out. There's a need, realizing there's no other one to fill that empty spot in me. There's no other creator that, you know, would even want to reach down and take me up out of the muck and the mire and all, you know, my past mishaps and all of that and save my soul. But there, you know, when there's that thirst, oh, that thirst, God puts it within us to desire those living waters, all those wells of living water. You know, you can dig deep. Oh, there's always more of God that we can obtain. You know, it's a well that goes down, 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 down. And then those waters, oh, don't run out. They're completely fully there. You know, it's available. And oh, so possible. If people will only search for God, if they only come to God, if they only seek him with all their heart. Oh, what a wonderful privilege we had. The psalmist also tells us in Psalm 66 how to reach God. Psalm 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. See, there it was. There was a cry that comes from the mouth. It's a desperate cry. It's an earnest cry. A cry for the living water, a cry for a living God. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled. He was worshipped. He was praised with my tongue. It came out. There were no reserves. There were no stops. There were no plugs. It just came out. I'm going to serve God. I'm reaching out to him. There's no other answer. I've got to find the living God. I've got to drink of that living water. And there it is. Oh, the iniquity is gone because I know God's not going to hear me with iniquity. So I repent. I turn to the living God. I give it all to Him. I surrender. It's not a halfway stretch by any means. It's giving all to the Lord, surrendering everything to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. But God hears. It says, verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended. He hath listened to the voice of my prayer. That prayer had a voice. It wasn't just silent. It was desperate. It was needy. It was crying out. It was searching. Oh, it was seeking. And praise the Lord, there's a living God who will hear that voice. That voice of my prayer, oh wow, when it goes up to heaven, that cry goes up to heaven, oh Lord, hear me, oh Lord, for I know there's no other way, God, and oh Lord, no one else can fill me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord, we can find the living God, oh, praise the Lord, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. All your heart, a complete surrender to God, not halfway, and laying it down, you know, not your will, not your notions, not your way of thinking. No, you give it to God and you ask God to come into your life and change you, give you His mind and His way, His concepts. Oh, and to restore you, to lead you, oh my, to make something beautiful out of your life. Because only God can do that. Only God can restore, oh, and redeem us and seek and to save us. Oh, praise the Lord for what He has done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He hears our cries. We thank You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Oh, God, let those praises come out of our heart, out of our mouth, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, be extolled, oh, Lord. In Your precious name, God, help us, Lord. Oh, God, lead us, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen. Oh, wow, if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's available. It's for you. This is the day. Oh, this is the hour. Oh, praise the Lord. If you will seek Him and search for Him with all your heart, He will be found. If you cry out to Him, He will be there. I'm sure He will meet your need, no matter what it is. If it's for salvation, if it's for healing, if it's for deliverance and restoration, whatever it is, you know, financial, whatever it is, we serve a God that can do all things. Nothing is too hard for Him. And praise the Lord. But He's waiting for a people. He's waiting for our response. You know, we draw nigh to God. And praise the Lord. He will draw nigh to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you will worship Him. If you will praise Him. If you extol Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Be not afraid. But oh, let the Lord have your heart, your mind, your soul. Give Him your strength. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sam will come. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 112 in the chorus book, I Want More of Jesus. Thank you. Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of His great love, so rich, so full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give Him more of me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer.
Thank you. Help him to get right with you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, shake him up, Lord. Help him, Lord, to get right with you, Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy on his dad, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you don't want to turn things around here. Oh, your precious Lord. Oh, Lord, your precious Lord.
Even though I had a doctor's deal, I didn't even know she. It's